Grab your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, and tonight we're going to be in chapter 5. 2 Samuel and chapter 5. And we're going to be looking tonight at verses 17 through 25 together. And as you have found it, or as you are finding it, I invite you, if you're able, to stand together tonight out of respect for the reading of God's Word. And tonight I want to consider this thought together: breaking down a breakthrough. Breaking down a breakthrough. Anybody ever felt like they needed a breakthrough before in life? Tonight we're going to break down one that the Lord gives here in 2 Samuel chapter 5. Look with me in verse 17, and we're going to go through the end of the chapter. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it and went down to the hold. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of water." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee and smite the host of the Philistines." And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. Father, tonight I pray that as we look into your word, Lord, that you would, Lord, that you would receive even how we hear and respond to the word of God tonight, Lord, that even that might be an act of worship before you. Help us, I pray, to desire in these moments everything that you have for us. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory for all that you accomplish in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The context of 2 Samuel chapter number 5 is that David had just been installed as king over all Israel. And we see in verse number 17 that when the Philistines recognized that David wasn't just king over part of Israel anymore, no, David had been installed as king over all of Israel, that the Philistines, when they recognized David's ascent, the Philistines launched an attack. You know, tonight as we start, I need to start by pointing out to us that there is a relationship between opportunity and opposition. In the life that we live, there is a natural relationship that exists between opportunity and opposition. I think about the natural opposition that we face in a fallen, sin-cursed world. You know, we recognize in science class, the second law of thermodynamics, that everything tends towards disorder and chaos. And so there is a natural opposition that we face in this life, where things around us tend to disorder and people get sick and bad things happen. It is the way of the natural world in which we live. But there's also a supernatural opposition that we face. And we face a supernatural opposition because the kingdom of our God and the kingdom of this world cannot peacefully coexist. Light and darkness do not get along. And so, to understand, any time we want to advance for the Lord, we can expect an attack from the enemy. You know, it breaks my heart as pastor because I see it over and over and over again that somebody decides that they're going to get their life right. And as soon as they decide that they're going to get their life right, the devil attacks in new ways. Somebody decides they're going to get their marriage right, and the devil attacks in new ways. Somebody decides, our youth sees it all the time, that they're going to get free of the stronghold. And once you decide that you're going to advance for the Lord, mark it down, you should expect an attack from the enemy. I think of Job. When God elevated Job there, God's testimony of Job, what happened? Satan tried Job. He lost his stuff. He lost his family. He lost his health. When Job advanced, he found himself under attack. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, favored by God, exalted there in Babylon. But not so long after they were exalted in Babylon, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. I think about the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at the accounts of Scripture. Matthew chapter 3, the Lord Jesus begins his public ministry. He presents himself, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He is baptized there in the Jordan River. The heavens open and the voice of God says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus tempted in the wilderness. "If thou be the Son of God." You see, any time we advance the kingdom, we can expect attack from the enemies of the cross. As someone said, and it's rather witty, new levels always bring new devils. And ladies and gentlemen, we ought not be surprised. We ought expect opposition when we live in such a way that our desire and heart is to go forward for God. Even as the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12, that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And our enemy doesn't play around, does he? I think someone else wisely put it, perhaps if you feel that the devil doesn't bother you, it could be because you don't bother him. But the second you decide to make a difference for God, expect opposition. And so David gets crowned king over all of Israel. And he hadn't been crowned but a few verses when the Philistines reared their ugly head. But God gave David a breakthrough. God gave David a breakthrough. In verse number 20, David references God as the master, the Lord of breakthroughs. David said, as like rivers of water, the levees or the dams opened up and the water just rushes forth. And no one can stand against the power of our God. God gave David a breakthrough. And as we said, as we introduced it tonight, how many of us could use a breakthrough from time to time? We think a breakthrough maybe in our health and healing, a breakthrough in our family, a breakthrough in sanctification over maybe a sin that is so easily besets us. But I love in this account here of Scripture, David provides us a good breakdown for how you and I can know the breakthrough power of our God. Now, I need you to work with me tonight. I'm going to ask you to think a little bit. Is that okay on a Wednesday night? I'm going to ask you to think a little bit. I'm going to preach this backwards. Chronologically, maybe from what I would normally preach it. In other words, I'm going to start at where I would normally be the end, and I'm going to work my way back to the beginning, and hopefully it'll all make sense when we get there. But work with me. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's break down how to get a breakthrough. Roman numeral 1, what do we learn from David? David praised the Lord's work. David praised the Lord's work. Look at verse number 18 through verse number 21. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies as the breach of water." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim, or the Lord, or the master of the breakthrough or the breach. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. Can I point out first, as we consider this breakthrough that God gave David, David recognized the power of God in his need. You know, when David won the battle, David did not lift up himself. David didn't say, "Look at what I have done." You know, as a brand new king, it may have been tempting for David to have people look at him like the brand new king. Lift himself up. David didn't lift himself up. David didn't lift up the power of the soldiers around him and say, look, men, look what you have accomplished as a brand new king. David might have thought that it might have been a wonderful thing to take this opportunity to praise the men that were around him. But David didn't praise himself, and David didn't praise the soldiers that were around him. David praised the Lord. David praised the Lord. David recognized that the Lord had done a work, that he had flowed out before and he had flowed over his enemies. Recognizing, church, no one can stand before our God. No one can stand before our God. There is no king who can stand before our God. There is no government that can stand before our God. There is no political system that can stand before our God. No one can stand before our God. Can I broaden that a little bit? Not only can no one stand before our God, nothing can stand before our God. I'm going to tell you, COVID has no power over our God. I'm going to tell you, money or lack thereof has no power over our God. Depression has no power over our God. There is nothing in this world, there is nothing in this life that can stand before our God. He is a glorious God. He is a great God. He is a good God. And nothing, nothing, nothing can stand before Him. Amen. As the Lord said, Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Verse number 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. And David's burning of idols there in verse 21 was a public declaration that our God reigns. And David praised God for His works. Church, we look for a breakthrough. We pray for a breakthrough. We know we need a breakthrough. Boy, church, we must praise Him with a humble heart, because we have to recognize without Him, we are nothing. It wasn't David and God. It wasn't David, the soldiers, and God. It was God who had done the work. You remember the words of Jesus in John 15 in verse number 5. He said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He said, abide in Me. And he that abideth in Me and I in him, He said, the same bringeth forth much fruit. What does He say though at the end, church? For without Me ye can do some things. For without Me ye can get by. For without Me you can maybe manage a 5 out of 10 if you try really, really hard. Without Me ye can do nothing. You want a breakthrough tonight? You're going to have to learn to praise the Lord's work. Because God is more than just a resource to help you live. He is the reason you have life. He is the reason you took your last breath. He is the reason your heart has continued beating. He is the reason you have a job. He is the reason you have a family. He is the reason you have a home. He is the reason you have a church. He is the reason that we have any significance of any kind in this life. He is the reason that we have any impact of any kind in this life. Without Him, we are nothing. So if we're going to break down a breakthrough, we're going to have to start by recognizing, like David, we need to praise the Lord for His work. Amen. That's not all David did. Not only did David praise the Lord's work, but if we're going to break down this breakthrough, we're going to have to see as well that David pursued the Lord's word. Let's pick back up in verse number 22. And the Philistines came up yet again. Spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. When David inquired of the Lord, He said, Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then shalt thou bestir thyself, for then thou shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou comest to Gezer. to break down a breakthrough, we got to see, number one, that we need to praise the Lord's work. Number two, we need to pursue the Lord's word. This one's super simple. David obeyed what God told him to do. I mean, church, it really is that simple. It really is that simple. David obeyed what God told him to do. David obeyed without delay. I mean, David had just been anointed king. David had just won the battle. David could have come up with 1,000 reasons to wait to do it tomorrow, but David obeyed without delay. He simply did what God told him to do. David obeyed without discussion. You know, David, he could have sent spies to go investigate. Is this the same as last time? Is this different as last time? Generals, we got to get together. We got to, and the multitude of councils, there is wisdom, and there's great truth in that. And David could have gotten the men together and the boys together and talked it out, but no, David didn't. David obeyed without discussion. David simply did what God told him to do. David obeyed without denial. David could have said, God, that's a dumb plan. God, I really think it would work better if we did it this way. David could have denied God's word altogether, but David didn't. David simply did what God told him to do. David simply obeyed God. David obeyed, ooh, this is a good one, without deflection. David didn't wait for somebody else or something else to come to pass before he would obey God. No, simply he took God's word and he did what God told him to do. I love what God called David here. God called David, and by the way, God calls us to be decisive. You know that word in verse number 24. He said, and let it be when thou hearest the sound of the goings in the top of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. That word bestir there, that is a great, great word. That word bestirred, it means to be decisive. The picture is, it's like the sharpened edge of a sword. You ever heard the phrase, well, they're sitting on the fence? That's really nearly an impossible and very uncomfortable thing to do or even consider. You don't tend to be on the fence very long. You tend to fall to one side or the other. And so the idea is that the sharp edge of the sword, that there is a sharpness, and we're not waffling in the middle. No, we are decisive in what we decide to do. God said, when this comes to pass, buddy, you just make the decision to follow through with what I've told you to do. Bestir yourself. Be decisive in following the Lord. If you want to break down a breakthrough, church, yeah, we need to praise the Lord's work. But we also need to pursue the Lord's word. Or simply decide to do what God tells us to do. To obey without delay. How many Christians can come up with any reason, I'll obey tomorrow. Tomorrow will be different. Obey without delay. I'm telling you, if you know that there is something that you need to do, if you know that there is something between you and the Lord, how simply we just need to do what God tells us to do. Not wait till tomorrow, not wait till Sunday, not wait till New Year's resolution 2023, not wait till our birthday, not wait till whatever day, do what God tells us to do. Obey without delay. How simply we need to decide to obey without discussion. Guess what? The internet is a wild and wonderful place. And you don't have to look very long before you can find somebody that will tell you exactly what you want to hear. If you want to find another voice to echo what you want to do, I'm going to tell you probably about 45 seconds in a Google search or a YouTube search, and you will have found many voices who will tell you, yes, do whatever you want to do. And you can find that discussion, or we can just do what God's told us to do. Obey without delay, obey without discussion, obey without denial. How many times we know God wants us to do something. We know we need to get something right. We know something needs to change. We know we need to surrender something. We know we need to deal with something. We know we need to be somewhere. We know we need to be developing a gift. We know we need to be helping in the ministry. We know, we know, we know, we know, we know, we know, we know. But that's what we tell God, no. You know, isn't it remarkable that human beings and demons are that unique class? We're the only ones that have ever looked in the face of the Almighty and said no. That's not great company. Obey without denial. This one's the hardest one for me. Obey without deflection. Because it's easy to blame my disobedience on others or circumstances. God, I know I need to forgive them, but I will forgive them when they. God, I know I need to love my wife as you love the church, but I will love my wife when she is more lovable. God, I know I need to honor my husband, but I will honor him when he is honorable. God, I know that I need to... Oh, we're really good at taking circumstances and taking other people's actions and saying, you know, God, I know, but so-and-so, but such-and-such, but this or that. Oh, and we're really good at deflecting what we know we ought to do. By the way, it doesn't matter what so-and-so does, and it doesn't matter what such-and-such is doing, and it doesn't matter what this or that circumstances are. If God has told us to do something, God's word is clear. If God has told us to do something, we simply need to decide to obey what God has told us to do. And so often it really is that simple that we break down on our way to a breakthrough because we don't do what God says to. And as I consider this thought, boy, how amazing it is that we choose to live disadvantaged. You know, a lot of times we feel like we're mitigating risk, or a lot of times we feel like this is the safer bet, or a lot of times we feel like this is the more logical or reasonable thing to do. But the reality is, anytime we don't do what God tells us to do, we are choosing to live disadvantaged. And we would never purposefully do that, but we do, because every time we decide to pursue something other than God's word, we live disadvantaged, because God's word does not, cannot, and will not fail. As the Lord said in Isaiah 55 and verse number 11. Brother David, if you get that. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. God's word doesn't come with an expiration date. And his word on sin, and his word on our hearts, and his word on our marriages, and his word on our child rearing, and his word on studying the Bible, and his words on forgiveness, and his words on purity and sanctification and holiness, they don't go out of date, and they don't go out of style. God's words don't return void. It is still the way to blessing. Let's break down a breakthrough. What was it that led David to this breakthrough? Number one, we saw that he praised the Lord's work. Number two, we saw that he pursued the Lord's word. Is this helpful tonight? Say amen. Amen. Challenges my soul. Number three, breakdown of a breakthrough. David prayed for the Lord's will. David prayed for the Lord's will. You look at verses 18 and 19 again. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." Jump with me, if you would, to verse number 22. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Seems like we've been here before, huh, church? I mean, we've been here. We've done this. But I love what happens in verse number 23. The Bible says, "And when David inquired of the Lord, he," the Lord said, "thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees." We want to break through, church. We need to praise the Lord for his work. We want to break through, church. We need to pursue the Lord and his word. We want to break through, church. We need to pray to the Lord, seeking his will. At every turn, David prayed. Before he did anything else, David prayed. In other words, David wanted to live on God's approval and not on his own assumptions. David, the new king, when the enemy reared a frontal attack, what did David do? The Bible says David inquired of the Lord. When the enemy then, three verses later, reared a very familiar attack, did David just go back and do what he had done before? Did David presume upon the Lord? No. David once again prayed to the Lord. Because before he ever pursued, and even before he praised, David prayed. David sought the will of the Lord. How often do we engage in life without engaging the Lord? How often do we engage in life without engaging the Lord? How often do we make decisions never even considering His direction? You know, if you're anything like me, we live a lot of our lives fashioning our will and fashioning our ways after what we think will work and after what we think we want. And even if we do pray, so often when we pray because we have already made up our mind and we're just coming to tell God what He needs to do. And the Holy Spirit brought to mind this thought, asked me this thought, is my prayer life more about submitting my wants or about surrendering my will? Is my prayer life more about just submitting my wants, or is it about surrendering my will? When Jesus taught us to pray, Luke 11 and verse number 2, how did He start? Luke chapter 11 and verse number 2, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. So before we ever get to give us this day our daily bread, Jesus sets the tone by teaching us to do what? Before we bring our wants, we need to bring our will. And by the way, Jesus practiced what He preached in the garden. What did He pray? He said, not my will, but Thine be done. As we pray, what do we need to pray for? We need to pray for wisdom to do the things that God would have us do in the timing that He would have us to do them. You know how many of us are guilty so often of feeling like, I've been here before and so I know exactly what to do. You get a few years of parenting under your belt, or you get a few years of marriage under your belt, or you get a few years of finances under your belt, and you've got your plan and you got your rhythm and you know how you handled it last time and it turned out all right. And so we just do what we do because it's what we do. And we do what we do because we found it to work. But church, it's not about just because it worked. It's not about just because it's how we've always done it. Church, we need the mind of God to do the things that God would have us to do in the timing that God would have us to do them. You know, it seems like God changes His strategy. First time God says, take them head on. The second time God says, take them from around behind. Seems like God changes His strategy. But I love what one commentator said. He said, God doesn't change His strategy at all. Because you see, God's strategy for David and God's strategy for us will always be that we wait and depend on Him. You see, that was the strategy. In both cases, David had to wait on the Lord. In both cases, David had to depend on the Lord. Church, we desperately need wisdom to know the things that God would have us do. You know, I think about this coming year. We have one office of a deacon that we're going to need to fill this year. We have three candidates. And church, it ought not be a Sunday night special that we show up, we look over them and go, huh, yeah, I guess that guy. Church, we cannot do that. We need to seek the mind of God to know the things that he would have us do and the timing that he would have us do them in. Church, I think about financially and how the Lord has blessed us. We're out of debt. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are out of debt. I got the little notice from the bank, the little tax statement at the beginning of the year. Our church mortgage was almost $230,000. It's zero today. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful. I think there's going to be some great rejoicing when we talk about the building of the growth fund that we've set up for future endeavors. But here's the thing, church. This is not the way it is so that we can be at ease in Zion and think, all right, we've got it all figured out from here on out. No, no, no. We desperately need God just as much today as when we were $1 million or whatever it was in debt.
Yeah.
We desperately need God today because we need to know, Lord, what would you have us do?
Yes.
Church, I think about as we plan this year, and we pray and we ask the Lord. I think about outreach and visitation. Church, the only thing that's going to change this world is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And if the church of Jesus Christ isn't willing to give the gospel of Jesus Christ, who will be? Let me break that down a little further. If you and I aren't willing to give the gospel of Jesus Christ, who will be?
True.
There is no hope in politics. There is no hope in stimulus money. There is no eternal hope in vaccines or masks or any of that. The only thing that's really going to change this world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, we need to pray. You know, come March, we're going to start back up our visitation program on Wednesday nights. But church, should we just assume that we're going to do the same things we've always done? Or should we give ourselves to prayer and fasting, saying, Lord, we need your wisdom. God, we need a breakthrough in this area. God, we need you to move like you've never moved before. And seek the Lord. You know, the great thing about needing wisdom for the Lord is that we have an open invitation to ask for it. You know, James 1 and verse number 5, a verse I go to often. I pray often. If any man lack wisdom, what does he say? Let him ask of God. He gives us to all men liberally. That means generously. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God, we need your wisdom. We need your mind to do your, to live your ways and to live your will. But church, we also need to consider the timing of God. Timing is so important. I think about music. Have you ever been a part of something musical and the timing was just off? Yeah, it's super uncomfortable, isn't it? It's uncomfortable if you're a part of it. It's uncomfortable if you're listening to it. It's just super uncomfortable. Timing's important. I think about how timing's important in sports. There are some times when I'm coaching basketball and some guy passes a pass and there's nobody there. And the people in the stands are going, what is he doing? I know what he's doing. The timing's off. And when the timing's off, it messes everything up. And so, church, we just not only need to pray that God will give us wisdom to do the things he would have us do, but that God will give us wisdom to do them in his time. You know, the Lord has blessed us with a lot of opportunities. I don't know exactly how he's going to lead us in the coming years, but church, we have to be willing to wait upon the Lord. And you know what prayer does? Prayer puts us in that position to wait on the Lord. And I'm convinced that this is the piece that we so often miss. I mean, we're ready to praise the Lord for all the things that he's done. And I tell you, we have a lot to be thankful for. Amen. The Lord, we have seen the Lord give some breakthroughs, haven't we? We have seen the Lord do some incredible things. Some mountains that we didn't know could be moved, and God moved them. Amen. We've seen the Lord do some incredible things, and we're ready to praise him. And we know the word of God is here, and I believe we have a church that really does hunger and thirst after righteousness and a life of pursuit, but a life of praise and a life of pursuit. If it's going to be the life that it needs to be, it has to start with a life of prayer. A life of prayer. Opportunity and opposition seemingly always come together in this life. Church, there is no way around it. But with the Lord on our side, there is always a way through. And church, you may face things in this life that are too great for you, but you will never face anything in this life that is too great for the Lord. I'm ready to praise, amen. I'm ready to pursue. But tonight I want to ask if we could quiet ourselves and pray. That along with the requests that we received this evening, church, I want us to pray. I want us to pray for our church. I feel in my spirit. I want you to hear me, so I'll give you a second, pack up, do whatever you're going to do. But I really feel in my spirit that the Lord has some really incredible things on the horizon for us. But church, before we ever get there, let's start with prayer. Asking the Lord for His wisdom. Asking the Lord for His timing. Church, let's start with prayer. Prayer that not just submits our laundry list of wants to the Lord, but prayer that starts by submitting our wills to Him. I really am so excited about all that God is doing. But if we're going to get to do it right, church, we have to make sure we start by getting to Him. And that, church, from the life of David, is a very simple breakdown of that breakthrough.